The month of March is famous for two reasons. One, if you enjoy US college basketball, it's March Madness. And two, in March, we celebrate the holiday St. Patrick's Day. I celebrate both. As we speak, I actually have my women's and men's brackets right next to my computer. I also love St. Patrick's Day. Today, we celebrate this holiday by dressing in green, decorating the house in shamrocks and rainbows, and of course, drinking copious amounts of Irish beer, paired with soda bread and corned beef and cabbage. My personal favorite Irish beer is Harp Lager. St. Patrick's Day is also steeped in traditions. It's a holiday where religion, tradition, and mythological creatures clash into a sea of green, orange, and rainbow, making St. Patrick's Day feel like a magical holiday, a day when people hope for good luck or to catch a glimpse of a leprechaun. All of you amazing Patreons, thank you all so much for supporting the show. I'm back from my trip and the stage is set for me to get ready to move. I just have to wait for a few final steps, so I should be moving within the next few months or so, as long as everything goes according to plan, of course, so fingers crossed it does. I have so much that I want to share with you guys, but I don't want to jinx myself, so I'm going to wait to tell you when I feel comfortable that it's all actually happening. In the meantime, I will be back to making main episodes for my listener suggestion list and making some more fun bonus episodes for you guys. Thank you all so much for your understanding about me posting the London Underground episode for everyone else to listen to. You guys are so understanding and awesome. As you guys heard in my intro, I'm going to be talking about St. Patrick's Day. I knew that I had Irish blood in me from my dad's side, but I never knew how much. For Christmas, I actually got a DNA kit, and I found out that I am way more Irish than I thought. I'm 25% Irish, and I know that might not sound like a lot to some people, but I thought it was going to be around 2-3%, so to find out that I had 25% made me really excited, because I have always loved the Celtic culture, and even as a kid, I always felt connected somehow to Halloween and St. Patrick's Day, and all the magic and dark stories about each holiday, and now it makes a lot more sense why I might feel like that. St. Patrick's Day is a blend of different beliefs and practices that over time evolved into the celebrations that it is today. I thought it would be fun to take a look at the history of this extremely green holiday and break down the myths and legends associated with it. To start off this episode, it's time to talk about the man, the myth, the legend, St. Patrick. Because if he didn't exist, we might not have such a fun holiday. Now, St. Patrick might have become an Irish patron saint, but what you might not know is that he was not even born in Ireland. A lot of the history of St. Patrick comes from his own declaration. The history of his life is hard to verify, so much about his life before his sainthood is unknown. If his own writings are to be believed, then he was born in Roman Britain during the late 4th century. Best guess historians have made is that he was born around the year 386 AD. It's also hard to know what his birth name was, but some historians believe it was Maywin Suket. It's said that Patrick was born into a wealthy Romano-Britain family. The life of the church ran in his blood because his father was a deacon and his grandfather was a priest of the Christian church. However, Patrick did not get to live the life he was expected to. At age 16, he was kidnapped when Irish raiders attacked his home. He was forced to become a slave and taken to Gaelic Ireland. He lived there doing forced labor as a shepherd for 6 years. During this time as a slave, he said he found God, and one day God spoke to him. According to Patrick, God told him to run away from his masters and go to the coast where a ship would be waiting for him, and it would then take him home. Patrick was able to make his way home to England, and there he became a priest. After a few years, he returned to Ireland and worked to convert pagans into Christianity. He is credited for bringing Christianity to Ireland. It's believed that he passed away on March 17th, 461. St. Patrick was actually never officially made a saint by the Catholic Church. When he was alive, the church did not officially name saints. The church did not start this practice until centuries later. Even after the practice began, he never officially was named a saint. However, it is likely that he was called a saint due to his popularity with the Irish people, and today many churches and people claim his his sainthood. The holiday of St. Patrick's Day began around the 9th or 10th century. It's a Roman Catholic feast day meant to honor St. Patrick's death. That's why it's held on March 17th. St. Patrick's Day is celebrated during the season of Lent. For those following this practice, eating meat is prohibited, along with drinking alcohol. People are also expected to give up something they enjoy. In Ireland, people are allowed to take a break from Lent on St. Patrick's Day. They were allowed to eat meat and enjoy activities that they had given up for Lent. It was a day to let loose and have some fun. During the early years of this celebration, families would gather for a church service and then hold a big meal with close friends and family. Over the next 100 years, it evolved into the huge holiday we know today. St. Patrick has many legends surrounding him. One is that he drove all the snakes from Ireland by standing on a hill dressed in his emerald green robes. According to legend, he waved his staff and banished all of the snakes from the Emerald Isle, making all of them slither into the sea. While this is a cool story, historians say that there were actually never any snakes in Ireland, so many think that this was a metaphor for him converting pagans to Christianity. One of the many St. Patrick's Day traditions is called drowning the shamrock. Drowning the shamrock is when people dunk a shamrock into their last shot of whiskey at the end of the night. The practice is considered good luck, and it is connected to another legend about St. Patrick. It was said that he liked to go to a local bar in Ireland when he began to notice that the bartender was not giving patrons a fair amount of whiskey for the asking price. Patrick went up to the bartender and warned him that the devil comes to the dishonest. His words must have spooked the bartender, because the next time St. Patrick came in for a drink, every glass was full to the brim. Because of this legend, it's considered good luck to dunk a shamrock into your last glass of whiskey on the night of St. Patrick's Day. Speaking of shamrocks, they are the most popular symbol of choice for this holiday. It's a symbol of Irish heritage and pride, but it also has to do with St. Patrick himself. Legend has it that he used three-leaf clovers, or shamrocks, to help him teach about the Holy Trinity to the local people. In the 1600s, shamrocks were easy to find and became a cheap way to dress up your church-going outfit. This trend became popular all throughout Ireland. Every once in a while, you may find a shamrock that has four leaves. If you do, you better pick it and keep it with you for as long as possible, because it's considered good luck. Today, St. Patrick's Day is known for the color green, but that wasn't always the case. The original color of St. Patrick's Day was blue. This is because the ancient Irish flag was the color blue. Members of the Irish Rebellion that began in 1798 used the symbol of the clover and the color green to stand out and differentiate themselves from the British. After this, green replaced the blue and the shamrock became a national symbol. I'm sure you've all heard of the phrase, "Kiss me, I'm Irish," but what does that actually mean? What good would a kiss do? Well, that actually has to do with an ancient legend known as kissing the Blarney Stone. The Blarney Stone is located in one of the walls of Blarney Castle near Cork, Ireland. On the site where the castle stands today, the first building on record was believed to be a timber house built sometime before 1200 AD. It was replaced by a stone fortress around 1210. In 1446, it was destroyed, but soon rebuilt by Cormac Ledir MacCarthy, Lord of Muskerry. Many legends surround the Blarney Stone, and no one really knows where the stone came from or why we kiss it. Some say that the rock was Jacob's pillow from the book of Genesis 28 verses 10 through 22. In this story, Jacob laid down on a rock and dreamed of a ladder to heaven. It's believed that the prophet Jeremiah brought this exact stone back to Ireland. After its move, it became known as the Le Fal, or the Fatal Stone. It was used as a throne for Irish kings and was said to give them prophecies and mystical visions. Another legend says that the stone was the deathbed pillow for St. Columba on the island of Leona. According to this legend, the pillow was eventually moved to Scotland, and there it was used by Scottish royalty. The stone became known as the Stone of Destiny, and it was said to give the current kings the ability to see the future and choose the next best heir to the throne. After MacCarthy sent some of his army to support Robert the Bruce of Scotland to help him defeat the English in 1314, Robert gifted MacCarthy a piece of this sacred stone as a thank you. MacCarthy returned to Ireland with this stone and embedded it into the high tower wall above the castle's entrance. Another legend says that the stone was brought to Ireland from the Crusades. Yet another legend involves Cormac himself. He was upset about a lawsuit that he was facing, and one night, out of desperation, it's said that he prayed to the Celtic goddess Cladonna for help. She came to him in a dream that night and told him to kiss the first stone he saw on the way to court. He did did, and he was able to argue his case with such high eloquence that he won. After winning this case, he ordered that the stone be placed in the castle wall. From this day on, if someone were to kiss the stone, it was said that they would be given the gift of gab. The original way to kiss the Blarney Stone was that someone had to be held by their ankles and dangle them over the castle ledge. From there, the person would be able to kiss the stone while being held upside down. After the kiss, whoever was holding them would have to pull them back up over the castle wall. Eventually, due to safety concerns, the owners of the castle cut into the wall and put a grate underneath the hole. Now, people lean backwards while someone is holding onto their legs and upper torso. There are also metal bars attached to the stone itself for the person to hold onto so that they can easily kiss the stone upside down. I looked at pictures and you're very high off the ground, so you want to have somebody hold onto you that you can trust. And I can imagine that many accidents happened when people actually had to dangle outside of the castle wall to touch the stone. Kissing the Blarney Stone has become a popular tradition for people visiting Ireland. Many famous people have even gone to kiss the Blarney Stone. Some famous people who have kissed this stone include Sir Winston Churchill, famous comedians Laurel and Hardy, and Mick Jagger. It's estimated that 400,000 people kiss the Blarney Stone every year. There is also a saying that stems from the Blarney Stone. When Queen Elizabeth I reigned during the 16th century, she ordered the Earl of Lancaster to take the castle in her name. However, McCarthy was great at avoiding the subject matter. Every time the Earl came to negotiate, McCarthy would throw a lavish party and delay the topic. There is also letters that he sent to the Queen filled with excuses and delays. This angered the Queen, and once she became so irritated that she said the letters were nothing but blarney. People still use this phrase today when basically saying that people are full of it. So the next time you see a Kiss Me I'm Irish shirt, you know that that stems all the way back to the Blarney Stone. Even though today Christianity is dominating Europe, many leftover pagan traditions still exist, and many of them have found their way into various holidays that we celebrate. While St. Patrick's Day began as a Christian feast day, a lot of pagan folklore and superstition has worked its way into the holiday. In addition to the shamrock, another famous symbol of St. Patrick's Day is the leprechaun. For thousands of years, the Celtic people had myths and legends about fairies, water sprites, and little people. Fairies, also known as the fae, is almost like its own magical category. The fae include creatures like trolls, leprechauns, sprites, elves, gnomes, goblins, pixies, dwarves, and tommyknockers. Some even think that the headless horseman is a type of fairy. A leprechaun is a supernatural being in Irish folklore categorized as a type of fairy. Described as little bearded men dressed in a coat and hat with black shoes and a gold buckle. Early descriptions said that their coats were the color red, but in the 20th century, the color changed to green. They are known for causing mischief and pulling pranks on humans. Over time, their story evolved into leprechauns being shoemakers who repair the shoes for other fairies. Leprechauns are also known for being solitary creatures who are very protective of their gold. They hide their pot of gold at the end of a rainbow, which you can never reach. So it's their way of messing with us even more. It is important to never cross a leprechaun, or if you're lucky enough to find their gold, it is important that you never take a single gold coin from them. Don't touch it, because if they catch you doing that, they will put a horrible curse on you. However, if you manage to capture a leprechaun, they will grant you one wish. This is why it's popular to make leprechaun traps and hope to get your wish granted. Leprechauns also have their own holiday, which is celebrated on May 13th, known as Leprechaun Day. And I've heard some stuff from my grandmother about Irish folklore and the fairies, and I always have a rule of thumb where I just pretty much say, don't mess with the fae. Don't do it. Don't go looking for them. I wouldn't even bother setting up a trap, because while most people think this stuff is fake, I've heard some stories that really creep me out. And I think Ireland is beautiful and everything, and I'd love to go there someday, but I would not mess with any of their Celtic stuff, none of their stuff. Just, I'm good. I don't even think I'd ever ghost hunt while I'm there. Basically, there are three things I don't mess with: the fae, Egyptian curses, and Native American curses. It's better to be safe than sorry in my book. All right, let's get back to the traditions of St. Patrick's Day. It's a good idea to wear green on this day because you are in danger of getting pinched if you don't. This tradition seems to be more of an American-Irish one. According to the legend given, it's said that if you wear green, leprechauns won't be able to see you because you will blend into the sea of green around you. It's bad luck not to wear green because leprechauns will find you and give you a pinch as a warning that you should be wearing green on this day. This quickly spread to regular people deciding to pinch others who did not wear green on St. Patrick's Day. Speaking of America, many of the traditions that we've practiced today actually started in America. When Irish immigrants started coming to America, they brought their culture with them. Many became homesick for Ireland, and it became important to them to keep up the traditions of their homeland. A popular thing on St. Patrick's Day is to make Irish soda bread. Today it's made with flour, eggs, butter, raisins, seeds, and sugar. The classic shape of the loaf is round, and it's important to cut a cross into the top of the bread. The original saying was that this was to let the fairies out and ward off evil spirits to protect the household. After Christianity found its way to Ireland, the saying changed to letting the devil out. To this day, it's traditional for Irish Americans to bake soda bread in honor of St. Patrick. This is also a tradition in Ireland. These days, a popular dinner to eat on St. Patrick's Day is corned beef and cabbage. However, this meal does not have Irish roots like you might think. In Ireland, the food of choice was not corned beef, but bacon and cabbage. By the 17th century, beef had become a major industry for Irish exports. The Irish beef was cured and exported to France, England, and America. Because of the beef being exported in mass quantities, beef became expensive in Ireland, and the majority of Irish citizens could not afford it. In the mid-19th century, the Irish potato famine brought thousands of Irish families to America. When Irish immigrants arrived, many were poor, and corned beef and cabbage was an affordable option. Corned beef and cabbage became a staple for the lower working class. Over time, corned beef and cabbage became an Irish-American traditional dinner to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Another famous American St. Patrick's Day tradition is dyeing the Chicago River green. This tradition started in 1962, and ever since, the Chicago River turns into a vibrant shade of green to celebrate the holiday. Ever since 1966, the dye has been switched to a powdered vegetable-based dye. This was because environmental groups began to worry about the original dye. Today, the vibrant green is a staple for Chicago to celebrate the holiday. The last tradition I'm going to talk about today is parades. St. Patrick's Day parades originated in America. The first parades date back to the American colonists. The first official St. Patrick's Day parade took place in New York City in 1762 by Irish soldiers who were serving in the British Army. Later, when Irish immigrants came during the potato famine, they faced harsh discrimination. As a way to cope with their feelings of being unwanted, they started to hold St. Patrick's Day celebrations and parades to show their Irish pride. They also used them as a way to introduce the Irish culture to Americans in a way that was meant to feel inviting and fun. This idea definitely worked, because today, Irish Americans now hold a special place in America, and the parades and celebrations held throughout the U.S. are some of the most popular. And that popularity only grows. The biggest St. Patrick's Day parade in the world is held in New York City. It has over 150,000 participants and 3 million spectators, and studies show that that number is increasing every year. Cities like Boston, Chicago, and Philadelphia also hold large parades and festivals. The magic of St. Patrick's Day has spread throughout the world. Tokyo, Japan even now holds its own St. Patrick's Day parade, complete with Irish food, drink, and dance. St. Patrick's Day is full of legends, myths, and magic, all wrapped into one Christian holiday. It's also proof that the pagan traditions still find their way into our everyday lives, and it keeps the love for Ireland in all of our hearts. I know plenty of people who love St. Patrick's Day, and they're not even Irish. Thank you all so much for joining me for this fun bonus episode. I hope that you all enjoyed learning about the history and legends of this green holiday. I had a lot of fun making this bonus episode. Are there any traditions that you like to do with your family? If you do, let me know in the comments section on the episode posting on the Patreon page. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and I hope that you all have a happy and lucky St. Patrick's Day. I'll see you guys really soon. Bye, everyone.